This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for lectures, features, and radio shows. And now, here's Coy Barefoot.
Dave Wasserman is the house editor at the Cook Political Report online at cookpolitical.com, and he joins us on the long line from his office in Washington. Dave, how are you today? Did you get any sleep last night?
Oh my gosh, boy, I'll tell you. Long night does not even begin to describe it. It's like sort of a political overload for us junkies or perhaps Christmas.
Yeah.
but it certainly kept us up waiting. And, forget Super Tuesday. I'm calling it Super Wednesday because we're really figuring out the results on the day after when we're adding all the numbers district by district. You need a good calculator.
Absolutely. And Dave, of course, formerly with the UVA Center for Politics, now with the Cook Political Report. I couldn't even make it to California. I mean, I was trying to keep my eyes open. I just couldn't do it. I don't even think I saw midnight. And I did have that feeling like I just eaten when I went to sleep, like I'd just eaten a whole pie, you know. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yep.
So flesh it out for us, Dave. What happened? What happened yesterday?
Well, John McCain became the nominee of the Republican Party, and who would have thunk it last summer? It's really the story of everyone ganging up on Mitt Romney, I think a freakish series of events have worked in John McCain's benefit to get him closer to the nomination. It's almost a mathematical impossibility that either one of his major opponents could come back and defeat him. On the Democratic side, though, we are in for a race for the ages. We've not seen anything like this before. We're deadlocked. It's probably going to go on until April, if not longer, perhaps all the way to a late August convention. This is a real irony in that we're seeing a more civil race on the Democratic side, even though the Democratic race is competitive, and the Republican race right now is not.
Dave Wasserman with the Cook Political Report is my guest. And folks, if you got a question or a phone call, you want to share your thoughts about Super Tuesday or POTUS 08, please pick up your phone and join this conversation at 977-1070. Dave, there really is a lesson there for us as we consume political news. If you go back in time, like you just said, if you go back in time, there you could go back to a time last summer when the news was all Thompson, it was all Giuliani, it was all about the McCain campaign was imploding and his hopes are dashed, and it just goes to show you, you never know what's going to happen until it happens in politics in America.
Yeah, who was it who said that the only dead politician is the one 6 feet under? I think John McCain is sort of a cat with nine lives in this race. He's proving that he can get out of a big jam.
Now, does he have this locked up at this point? Is there any way that any one of his competitors could steal it?
Well, here's the thing. He won a whole bunch of winner-take-all states. He pretty much ran the table on California, which is winner-take-all by district. And so there aren't really many big prizes left on the Republican side that are winner-take-all that Mitt Romney could sort of, you know, invest a lot of money in and make up all the ground. He's down about 500 delegates right now. It's over.
Wow, that's amazing. And of course, that convention is what we were just talking with John Hager a few minutes ago. That's in September, right after the Olympics.
Yeah.
And so on the left now, tell us, if you can, share with us your insight about this delegate count. I do not understand the Democrats. It seems to me like they just figure out the most confusing way to do something,
right,
and then they just sort of try to work through that instead of the simplest way. I literally don't understand how they're counting these delegates. And she says she's ahead, and Barack Obama says no, I got more, and it's very confusing.
Right. Well, on the Democratic side, there are a certain number of delegates in each state that are pledged and unpledged. In each state, about 20% are superdelegates, which are unpledged. They can vote at the convention for whomever they want. Then there's a certain number of pledged delegates that are allotted by the statewide proportion of someone's vote in a primary or caucus. And then the majority of pledged delegates are allotted by district. Now, this is a little bit hairy because What we saw last night was essentially a Powerball primary where we had, you know, 22 states up for grabs on the Democratic side, but you really had to go into the districts to find out what happened. If a district that has five delegates splits 61-39 for one candidate or the other, it rounds down to two delegates for each candidate in a four delegate district. I would think that in Virginia's 5th district, for example, I'm pretty sure it has five delegates. I could be wrong. You know, if Barack Obama carries Charlottesville and some of the more heavily African-American areas down in Southside, then he could conceivably win it 3-2. If he wins by a lot, he could win it 4-1. But it's not really about who's on top so much as how much they're on top by.
Interesting. We're talking with Dave Wasserman of the Cook Political Report online at cookpolitical.com. So the Republican primary next week in Virginia is winner take all. Whoever gets the most votes in the primary gets all the Republican delegates. The Democrats, and I'm rolling my eyes here, because it's just so darn unnecessarily confusing.
Right.
They do it all by some crazy proportionality.
Well, it's not really crazy if you think about it, but it does require you to sort of look at breakdowns of the vote. And what the system does is really encourages a competitive process in which no candidate can blow out another candidate by winning a winner-take-all state. We've never had it so close before that this kind of thing can go all the way down to the last state. I don't know if South Dakotans on June 3rd are going to be receiving plenty of mail from the candidates to try and get their votes. They're the last ones at bat. But it's a possibility.
Goodness. Now, tell us about this whole, on the Democratic side, this whole idea of super delegates, because this, it sort of bothers me that you have, I think it's 20% of the delegates to the Democratic convention. So one out of every five votes for the nomination is a super, quote-unquote, delegate. What is that, and what does this mean?
Well, Barack Obama certainly doesn't think they're all that super, because right now he's down about 80 super delegates in the total count. These are congressmen and senators on the Democratic side. They're elected leaders, but mostly they're people that we've never heard of. They're committee people on the state level, committee people to the Democratic National Committee, who are pretty obscure figures, but they're going to be receiving plenty of calls personally from Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton over the next few months, if not longer. And, you know, you can make the argument that this is sort of undemocratic. You can say, well, hey, if the Democratic Party is the people's party, then why are they letting a scenario go by where a bunch of elitists could overrule the voices of the masses as expressed in primaries and caucuses all across the country?
Because if you have 20% of your folks at your delegation who are not bound by the wishes of the voters, they just can go in there and do whatever they want. 20%, one out of every five, they could swing the nomination any way they want if it's this close.
Sure. And, you know, the big story that I think is sort of been pushed under the rug in the past day is that Barack Obama actually won Super Tuesday. He increased his share of delegates. He won just an infinitesimal victory in terms of the delegate count among pledged delegates in primaries and caucuses on Super Tuesday. I think the count ended up being something like 847 to 835 or something crazy like that. So if he wins Super Tuesday by 12 delegates, that adds to his existing lead of 15 delegates from South Carolina, New Hampshire, Iowa, and Nevada. And he's got that you know, 27 or 28 delegate lead. But then at the convention, all these super delegates get to vote, and the establishment is by and large behind Hillary Clinton in this race. They could go the other way and more than make up Hillary Clinton's deficit.
Amazing. Gosh, and that really is the story right there, how these a small group of elitist party insider Democrats could go against the wishes of the majority of folks who voted for Barack Obama.
Well, you're absolutely right, and we'll see if they change their minds, if they find out that we get to the end of the primary and caucus line and Barack Obama still has a majority of pledged delegates. there's going to be a lot of pressure on these folks to go along with the so-called will of the people, even if Barack Obama wins a delegate count by only a handful of votes. It's highly conceivable that Barack Obama could win the Potomac primary next Tuesday by perhaps 50 delegates. That could get him close to a total overall tie when you include superdelegates. But then Ohio and Texas are a little bit dicier on March 4th for Barack Obama. So this is a very difficult time to be in the business of prognostication.
Dave Wasserman, formerly of the UVA Center for Politics and now the House editor at the Cook Political Report, online at cookpolitical.com. Dave, what's this news breaking today that the Clinton campaign is out of money and she's lending herself money? That is not a good sign, is it?
Well, the reality is few strategists really counted on a race that would be a marathon rather than a sprint. And so this is a challenge for both campaigns. Now, the check-writing passion for Barack Obama has not ebbed, and he raised more than $1 million a day during the month of January. Folks say that's not letting up. I think Obama is likely to be the money leader for the rest of the race, and Hillary has some ground to make up in that regard. And it's understandable that she's contributing some of her own money to the race. Look, John Kerry mortgaged his house in 2004 when he was down and out, and he got back into the thing and won it. It could work for Hillary Clinton. Of course, $5 million is a drop in the bucket. That'll buy you about a week's worth of ads in March 4th primaries.
Wow. Dave Wasserman of the Cook Political Report. How do you see it going next week, what they're calling the Potomac primary, Virginia, Maryland, and D.C.? We go to the polls next Tuesday. How do you see that playing out on the right and the left?
Well, these are really must-win victories for Barack Obama. I think the confluence of these states that are favorable to him has the potential to give him some momentum heading into March and the rest of this month when we see Wisconsin voting as well. I think he needs to win by a point spread. And in Virginia, I might put that point spread at 10 to 15 points, somewhere in that range. I think he's likely to win Maryland by 20 points or more, and he's likely to claim an absolute blowout in Washington, D.C. Now, of course, when it gets to the delegate math, if Washington, D.C. Has a district-wide proportion of the vote that is two delegates, the question is, does Obama win at least 75% there to round up to two, or does he fall short at 74% and each candidate gets one delegate apiece? So this math is fascinating.
Yeah, and it's totally fluid, isn't it? I mean, it seems like every day it's changing.
Yep, you're absolutely right. But we're in for some of the fiercest advertising blitzes that we've ever seen.
And in Virginia, are we going to be seeing that in the coming days?
I think you certainly will be seeing a saturation of advertising for the candidates leading up to next Tuesday. And this is really a national tour for these candidates. They must be so worn out by this point, and the stamina it requires for both candidates and their campaigns to move at such a pace is just a stamina that most of us simply don't have. This is really starting to wear on the candidates, and I think this is a real battle of endurance.
And which is a good way to measure somebody's qualifications for, in some cases, measure their qualifications for what is arguably the most stressful job on the planet.
Sure, sure. And
you know, the media company's got to be loving the fact that this thing is stretching on. It's just more money for them. You know, I mean, when you donate money to a candidate, most of that dollar goes to some media company somewhere.
Well, you're absolutely right, and I'm not complaining either, because the demand for political analysis is also there.
So. Hey, really quick before we let you go, talk to us a little bit about this. What's been going on with social conservatives attacking McCain? And there's an article. What is it? An article in the New York Post. Once John wins, he'll make a left. Is there what's your take on this? It seems to me at times unnecessarily attacking their, well, arguably now their real front runner here.
Well, Republicans are, as John McCain's mother said recently, going to have to hold their nose and vote for him in November. On my beat in the House, when I talk to Republican candidates running for the House, they think that a John McCain versus Hillary Clinton matchup is actually their best-case scenario to help them down the ballot, because they feel as if John McCain will sort of help them shed a reputation of being a fire and brimstone conservative, but that Hillary Clinton's presence on the top of the ballot will actually bring out those most ardent conservatives to vote anyway, just to vote against her. It's possible that that best of both worlds scenario could play out. But on the Republican side, it's fascinating to watch the anti-McCain movement try and make its play in this race. But the fact is, conservatives are split very evenly, in fact, between Mitt Romney, who people see as a consistent conservative in terms of his position, but not historically, and Mike Huckabee, who people see as authentic. People see John McCain as authentic, but not necessarily consistent in his position. So it's sort of a two out of the three in each case.
Fascinating stuff. Dave Wasserman is the House editor at the Cook Political Report. You can read his analysis of politics here in America online at cookpolitical.com, formerly of the UVA Center for Politics and now in Washington. Dave, it's always an honor to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Great. Thanks so much, Coy.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show is on the air Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 in the afternoon. Join in on the show by calling 434-977-1070 or feel free to leave a comment on the show at cvillepodcast.com. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network.